drugs.
Mark has a soothing voice. Is the kind of, you should do audiobooks, man. I'd listen to all of them, regardless of the content.
You should, yeah. That's a good idea.
I'd probably put you to sleep. But
no, thanks. Man. No, it's like I feel like you're, if ever Werner Herzog needs to have someone narrate one of his films, I'd definitely listen. I was like, oh, Mark's doing this one? I don't care what
I'd
he's talking
down.
About. It'd be great.
You should narrate Herzog films. Just go take his old films and just
do them all over
them.
Again.
Just do them.
Awesome.
just make your own Fitzcarraldo.
Put that
do the
out
voiceover.
There.
Guys pushing boat uphill. All
well,
right.
That's a great call.
Criterion now 35. Actually, we had a couple false starts. I've had a couple 35s, but then we missed one, and then I did the Arrow episode, so we made that Arrow Now episode 1, which was a lot of fun. And so we're back at 35, and we have a new guest and an old guest. So we'll
did you call me old? Jeez.
Yes, you old hag. We'll start with a new guy first. Jason from the Atlantic SC podcast. What's up, Jason?
I'm fine. Thank you very much for having me, you guys. Yeah, we've been trying to get together to do this for quite some time, and I'm super thrilled to be here talking to you guys finally. It's been a long time coming.
I think
coming.
It's been about 8-10 years or something like that. Yeah, a long time.
No.
And hello, Mark. We've talked a lot. So
we have, yeah. It's been a little while, so it's good to talk to you, Aaron. But yeah.
A little bit. Yeah. Yep. But there'll be more. More
there'll
coming.
Be more. Yep.
So, Jason, we know you have a podcast. In fact, we referenced your podcast when we did our PTA episode because you had a little PTA series there. So do you want to tell us a little bit about the Atlantic SC podcast?
Sure thing. First, I want to say thank you to you guys, both of you guys, because a lot of the listenership that we have now comes from you guys referencing our show. And so it's always been a great, great thing, you know.
Awesome.
Especially the Paul Thomas Anderson retrospective. You know, it's been one of our biggest selling points, I guess, if you want to call it that. And it is in part due to you guys pointing in that direction. There's a bunch of people from
Los
Angeles that reached out to us and are like, this is a really good retrospective. Thank you. And so I'm really happy because Phantom Thread is coming up. So that'll send a little more people our way as well. But our podcast is, you know, we try to go in depth on films, you know, and make it fun and entertaining. I do it with Lee Brady. He's a guy that is from Ireland. You can follow him on Twitter as well at Lee Paul Brady. And we just put out our initial breakdown of Blade Runner 2049, which was more of a conversation that we know, because we usually do deep dives into the films. Mm-hmm. With this one, we're actually put out our theatrical edition, and we're planning on going back to revisit it once it's on home video, and so that we can kind of do the deep dive on that and put out our final cut of it, just to keep in the spirit of Blade Runner. And so if people want to check us out, yeah, we had a few successful episodes recently, one on Darren Aronofsky's Mother. We did
one. That was
on
a good one.
I haven't seen it. Yeah.
That was great.
I'm waiting.
It's such a fun movie, man. I had a great time watching
I'm gonna,
it.
I'm going to love it or hate it. I know that much.
Yeah, that's the weird thing about
responses.
It. Yeah.
No in between.
No. We had one on Jonathan Glazer's Under the Skin that did really well. Ridley Scott's Alien Covenant is one that did
film.
Really well.
Yeah.
And we talked about Shane Carruth's Upstream Color just recently as well, and we had a really fun time with that. So, you know, those are the ones that I'd send people to see what we kind of do most of the time with our deep dives. And mm-hmm. I'll be announcing for you guys right here that our upcoming project is we're actually gearing up because of Guillermo del Toro's Shape of Water that's going to be released in December.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be starting our retrospective
wait.
On him as well. And so I just launched into Cronus, and I'm looking forward to rewatching Mimic because I haven't seen it since the 90s, since 1997. So
yep.
Same here. Good call.
No, that's right. I did see that, and it was terrible. So.
I remember liking it. That's the fun thing. You're the second person to tell me that's his only bad movie. And I was like, I remember. I have fond memories of that film. But anyway, I was 17 to 37. I haven't seen him in 20 years, so we'll see.
Yeah, sometimes memory is a tricky thing. So, well, welcome and glad to have you. And glad we gave you a lot of listeners. I didn't know that, but...
oh, no, I mean, big thanks
him,
to...
We made him, Mark.
That's right.
Well, you know, in a sense, you guys in Session Better Film as well have really, really helped get our show rolling. And I mean, it's kind of weird because I'm an Anglophone from Quebec City. This is, mm-hmm. you know, usually reserved to Americans, and Lee is over in Ireland. So just being part
great.
Of this circle is kind of fun, and it's, you know, a little bit, it's surreal a little bit sometimes. So I really appreciate
too.
it.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate
it's
it.
A, It's really a great community, you know, because we've got, like you mentioned, you know, In Session Film and First Time Watchers and, you know,
yeah,
and
us Tim's
and you guys.
Like
it's just you get to know people and cross promotion. And I think it really creates a listening and a recording community. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
so well, that's we geek out on Criterions now. So do you think you can hang?
Oh, man, I own 140, roughly, Criterion, so okay. I'm not too bad. Right. I'm not as...
That's pretty good.
I don't
that's
go in depth
number.
Like you guys, yeah. There's, you know, I'll admit to having a few in there that I haven't taken out of their wrappers yet because I saved them for when I'm going to be retired or something. My girlfriend was like, why did you get this one? I was like, because I have it, and now I know where to get it. It's not something I can just pick up at the library here in Quebec City. So. But I have a bunch.
Sure. Mark and I pretty much buy everything, so I love having people that are more selective on the show. That way you can kind of pick and choose, and so because we're stuck. So, well, but we picked an interesting month. We have our January announcements. So, do you guys want to just jump right in?
Sure. Yeah, let's talk about it.
The water's fine. All right, January 2nd, we have John Hughes, The Breakfast Club.
No controversy there. Nope. None whatsoever.
So, kind of interesting history with last year's New Year's Clue. There were a bunch of candles on the drawings, actually 16 if you counted them. And so we all expected 16 candles. There's been a rumor that maybe that was replaced by the Breakfast Club, and there was a hint a couple months ago about the Breakfast Club. So I don't know if it's true or not, but The Breakfast Club kind of makes a little more sense from Criterion if you're going to pick a John Hughes movie. So I'll start with our kind guest. Jason, do you like The Breakfast Club or
no,
John Hughes, period?
No. I'm not a John Hughes fan, to be honest. I mean, The Breakfast Club came out in 1985, if I'm not mistaken, and I was 5 years old. So I understand why, like, the Gen Xers would actually be more in tune to what John Hughes was doing at that time. But, I mean, watching it, you know, 10 years after that when I was 15 years old, I mean, it didn't really make an impression to me. It wasn't speaking to my generation or my you know, how I viewed culture at that time. And so I don't really have any affection for any of the John Hughes films. I mean, the one that I have affection for is Home Alone, which is the one I'd probably get chastised for the most, and possibly Uncle Buck.
Either of those are coming to Criterion. Just
no, but it'd be great to see, you know, Criterion taking the piss out of themselves by releasing that Criterion version of Kindergarten Cop would be great.
Right.
But man, I don't really care for The Breakfast Club. I think it would be interesting for the extras, if there are really interesting extras on there where I could see why there is this appeal for John Hughes, why people really like him. I could download a bunch of essays and read them, but, you know, as of yet, I don't really give a shit about the John Hughes stuff.
There are a lot of extras, so
stacked.
And you're speaking to two Gen Xers, so
that's right.
Mark, does this speak to your heart? Is this your memory? Were you in detention?
Yeah, no, I was a good boy, so I was the Anthony Michael Hall character, probably out of all of them. this did speak to me. I mean, I remember actually, honestly, don't really remember when I saw it. I think I saw it a little bit later because it was rated R, but I know there's a lot of haters for this being out there. I'm not one of those. I'm always open to Criterion adding something a little different, something new, and I'm excited. I think I've talked a little bit about how my daughter, who's 13, she seems to be an 80s connoisseur. She loves 16 Candles. She liked Pretty in Pink, and so now next year I have this to look forward to showing to her, and I think she's going to love it. So I can't wait.
Yeah, so I remember it, and I was probably somewhere between I was probably closest to Judd Nelson, except I wasn't a bully of any sort. I wasn't that confrontational, but I was not a good high schooler. I found my footing in college, but I did enjoy it. I thought it did capture the era. So I think it of all John Hughes movies, except for maybe Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, I think it makes sense. Ton of extras. We have documentaries. We have audio commentary with Hall and Nelson. We have this is a big deal. We have 50 minutes of never before seen deleted and extended scenes.
That's
a lot.
Crazy.
So
yeah.
I don't care about deleted extended scenes, but just curious how you cut out almost an hour out of this movie that moves pretty fast, if I remember, for guys sitting in detention. And a whole feast of other extras, stuff from the Today Show.
All right. Well, you're selling it now. It'll be interesting. But I'll probably give it another shot.
Ringwald and Sheedy. So.
All right, cool.
Yeah, and the 5.1 surround soundtrack. I mean, I just remember the music from this film being important. So that's going to be fun to pop that on, just hear it in surround.
Don't you forget about me, Ernie.
All right,
Jason. Well, maybe give it another shot. I kind of think that, sure, it is very 80s, but I also think it speaks to social cliques, and you kind of have everybody representing something. So so maybe it'll be a little more timeless when you revisit. But, yeah, if it's not for you, it's not for you. And I kind of like people hating on things on this show. We don't get enough hate. It's pretty much Jellyfish Eyes or Tiny Furniture, and that's it.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll find something like The Big Chill, you know.
There you go.
We hate The Big Chill. That's a hate fest, guy. At least
I liked it.
Do you? Okay. All right. Well, we'll save that for another day.
There you go.
Actually, this one, there's a little bit of hate. So we have on January 9th, 2018, our first one's from 2018, we have John Ford's Young Mr. Lincoln with Henry Fonda. This is a Blu-ray upgrade, so it's the first Blu-ray upgrade of the year, and I've seen it, and I will reserve my thoughts. Jason, have you seen it?
I haven't watched it yet. I've always wanted to see it, and I'm glad I haven't, you know, shelled out for the DVD version, because when I saw it show up, I was like, oh, you know, I'll just get the Blu-ray. So I'm looking forward to it, because I like what's his name? Fonda. And so, yeah, I don't know. I've never seen it, so I don't know what to expect. But it looks interesting.
Okay. Mr. Mark.
Yeah, it's a. I liked it. I did. I think I got it from the library, 2-3 years ago. And yeah, the Henry Fonda performance is really, really great. It's one of my favorites of his. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I do own the DVD, but I'll donate it or sell it or something.
There you go.
Nice to see that there's a couple of new, well, it's a new restoration, new audio commentary, and a new omnibus piece too. And I was kind of like doing, because I have the DVD, doing some comparison. I think the only thing we're missing is the production gallery of production documents that Criterion seems to not port over.
No problem.
You know, from their DVD.
We don't need those.
So, no.
Do we ever watch those?
No. No. So,
I do.
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah. Occasionally, I'll just kind of go check him out.
Cool. Yeah, the commentary. Joseph McBride. He's a big. He's a big Wells fan too. But he's a good scholar, and I'm looking forward to that. There haven't been a lot of new commentaries lately, so I'm looking forward to all those. And then the omnibus. John Ford, was that on the old DVD?
No, that's new.
Okay.
So
we have some new stuff. I don't love this movie for John Ford and for Henry Fonda, and I've seen some mixed reactions. Kind of that it's sort of milquetoast and not very edgy, but. You know, 1939. You know, of course, Henry Fonda doing Abe Lincoln. And it's a little bit of a oh golly gee performance, but you know, of course, it's going to be. It's not. He's not going to be. He's not Daniel Day. I like it. It's not one of my best, but I think it's interesting because it's right around the time of Stagecoach. I don't know which one was first. And
I think
the next
this one
year
came right after. Yeah,
did it? Okay, and then the next one was Grapes of Wrath next year. Right. I mean, it was filmed probably as Ford and Wayne were breaking out. Of course, Wayne's not in this film. But anyway, I do like it. So then we have on January 16th, we have I, Daniel Blake by Ken Loach. So this is another Palme d'Or winner. This is the Palme winner for the previous year. And so that's, I think we've had three in a row. Am I right?
Yeah, what were the other two? I'm trying to remember. Oh, Deepan and, we'd have to hit this year's Palme d'Or. I'm forgetting which it is now.
It's The Circle, wasn't it?
That's right. Yep.
Or The Square. A Square.
Circle. The Rhombus.
Ponsel's film didn't do well at all.
So I've seen it, but I'll save my thoughts. I was about to call you Daniel. Hey, Daniel Blake, have you seen
That's my dad's name, so I'd be fine with
Jason.
It.
Oh, cool.
I haven't seen the film yet, no, and I'm really looking forward to it because I've heard only positive things. And so just having it on Criterion is going to give me just, you know, a little bit of an excuse to be like, oh, well, you know what? Why not? I'll just check it out this way. So, yeah, I have no thoughts on it. I'm really looking forward to seeing it, and that's all I can say about it.
Okay. Well, Mark, I know you were about to watch it a couple weeks ago, and I think you skipped. You chose something else. So you,
I did.
Did you get around?
I did. Okay. But I did. I did jump into it, and I liked it quite a bit. I think I remember you talking about this just recently, Aaron, saying that it doesn't quite. It's good, Loach. It just doesn't quite live up to some of his best stuff. Like Cast. And I'd agree.
Sure.
I mean, I think there's some really good performances in it. The acting is great. I think the final moment is appropriate. Mm-hmm. I was kind of going into it. I wasn't quite sure, but I think it was well handled. There were a couple of disingenuous moments that kind of pulled me out of the film. There's a moment where he's talking to an employer that, some of those. Because it feels so real. Other than that, those moments kind of pulled me out. So it just knocked it down a peg from being, Kes level. But otherwise, mm-hmm. It certainly deserves to be in the collection.
Yeah, and I think my comment was not that it's not a bad film. It's just that Ken Loach, most of his films are just so good, and
exactly.
I'm a huge Loach fan. In fact, I just watched Poor Cal the other day, which I think was his first non-TV movie, that was with Terrence Stamp. It was before Kes, 66, 67, something like that. I liked it. I also thought it was a little preachy for a Loach film.
Yeah, good
not
point.
As naturalistic. Mm-hmm. Which, preachy's fine. And, of course, I think pretty much every Loach film has an agenda. They're highlighting social classes of some sort. But I did like it. I won't be in a hurry to see it. I actually bought this from the from Region B because it took a long time to come out in the States.
That's right.
I wanted to see it. I'm not very patient. But we do have some great, really interesting features. We have a 2016 audio commentary with Loach and the screenwriter, Paul Laverty. Which may be on my DVD or my Blu-ray from Region B. I haven't checked. But then what I'm really excited for is How to Make a Ken Loach Film, a 2016 production on the documentary on the production of... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm mixing it up. This one's just a documentary about I, Daniel Blake. And then there's another one called Versus, The Life and Films of Ken Loach, which is a 93-minute documentary about Ken Loach's career. And so I'm really looking forward to that. Ken Loach fan, Jason, or seen much from him?
No, man. I own The Wind That Shakes the Barley. That's it. Mm. I really enjoyed that one. That was a really good film. But other than that, no. Ken Loach is a name that's been thrown around quite a bit, so I know of him. Mm-hmm. And whenever I see I was like, oh, I have to get to his film sometime. So it's one of those guys that it's on the list of to watch, but I just haven't mm-hmm. gotten around to it.
Oh, you got to watch Kes someday.
Kes, yep.
All right,
Kes
cool.
I'd say when that Shakes the Barley is kind of not really indicative of his work.
Okay.
I'd say that's a little more polished. Usually in fact, you don't want to watch a Ken Loach movie without the subtitles because it's basically
foreign
language. Especially the Scottish. Yes. And this one was a little clearer, but you still want to watch with subtitles. I bought the Twilight Time, a couple Twilight Time discs that didn't have subtitles. It's basically like watching a French film without subtitles, which wouldn't be a problem for you.
Living not at all. I was like, there he goes as an example. I was like, it would be Japanese for me then.
Right.
Actually, I might need your help for the next one. Anything left to say about I, Daniel Blake, guys?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Well, we have the Eclipse series is coming back.
Yay, this
is a
Eclipse.
Big deal. Eclipse. You left us for really a year longer, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're back. And Jason, keep me honest here, but this is Eclipse Series 45 by Claude Autant-Laure. Is
that anyway? I forgot to write notes on this because I don't download any – well, I don't download. Sorry, I don't buy any of the Eclipse stuff. So let me just check out the notes that you sent me so I can look at his name.
Do you speak French pretty well?
Me?
Yeah, parlez-vous français?
Ah, oh, je parle très bien français. Mon français, il est parfait. J'écoute tous les films en français que ça me tente. Tous les films de Nouvelle Vague. So, yeah, my French is fine.
Yeah,
nice.
That's good.
Claude Autant-Lara. Okay, so Claude Autant-Lara.
Okay. I was close.
For Romantic close, Escapes from Occupied France. Yeah, so no, my French is fine.
Interesting guy. We've talked a lot about old French films,
right.
Just in our podcast life, Mark and I have.
For sure.
Big fans. This guy actually got his start working with Jean Renoir. I think he did some design. Was it costume design or set design on Nana, which was a bore fest. So, and I'm a big Renoir fan, so I'm just being honest. So, okay, Mark, I'll start with you this time. Do you know anything about Mr. Antoine Lara?
I don't, other than what Criterion's telling me and what people have been saying afterwards. It seems to be someone who was kind of shunned by the French New Wave. Mm-hmm. And I think Mr. Gasteyer mentioned a little concern about him being a, what do I say, Holocaust denier. Yeah. So, you know, and that's kind of interesting with the timing of these movies because, you know, these were released just prior to one of them, just after, you know, a couple years after the war ended. So it'll be interesting to kind of watch these movies knowing that, you know, that never... I'll just say, you know, the way a person, someone's beliefs never really color the way I look at their movies, but they certainly make it interesting to, you know, kind of look at it with that lens. So
we've had a number of talks about the art and the artist, and that especially these days, it seems like the artists are getting taken down left and right. So I, Holocaust denying is a tough one. I'll admit, but
yeah, that's no.
But, especially if you're there, you're like in the country next door to where most of it happened.
It's
and
crazy.
You probably help the people in your country help facilitate it. So, but I do like my old French film, so I'll try to keep an open mind, try to judge the work on its own terms. Jason, got anything?
Not interested.
So Holocaust denying is where you draw the line?
I guess that's one of the things. Yeah. I mean, now that you brought it up, I don't really have much interest in the Eclipse series. A lot of the stuff, I mean, I understand that it's really important to preserve these things, but most of the time when I'm trying to do it, like I remember sitting down to watch Downey's films, Downey Sr., and I was like, okay, I get it, but I don't care. And, you know, so I'm trying to maybe get a little bit more open-minded when it comes to Eclipse, but this one, I just, when I saw it, I just kind of skipped over it. I was like, fine, whatever. But
probably not a gateway. And actually, I wouldn't say that Downey is a gateway into the Eclipse.
There are some
treasures on the Eclipse, but yeah. Downey is a little more of the experimental. So if you're ever in the mood for an Eclipse series and want some recommendations, we have plenty of those.
All right, cool.
Well, I'm not going to just spit them out now. There's 40-something. How many? Is it 40-something?
45 now.
They've got 45. A lot.
45, yeah. So, I'll just say the check. The check is the great stuff.
It's a great one, yeah. I love the Raymond Bernard Pearls one, too, you know, because
that's good.
That's a couple movies. I mean, Masters of Cinema have put them out on Blu-ray, and they deserve to be on Blu-ray, so those are great.
All right, cool.
But the best thing about this is our good friends David and Trevor are going to get the band back together. So those who don't know, the Eclipse Viewer, they went through the entire 44 series or 44 edition series, and they finished it with Ozu, which was and they had a very, very nice, tearful finish. I don't think they shed tears. I think I did. So anyway, it'll be a happy reunion, so they can talk about Holocaust denying.
Yes.
Yay. But hopefully there's more to come, and so that they can continue their podcast and just kind of keep up with the new releases.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's almost surprising, you know, it's because it's been so long that they're releasing another DVD set, especially in the land of Filmstruck. It's great. Really good to see. Yep.
So people are wondering about 4K. We'll go the other way. We'll go back to DVD. So
exactly.
Thanks, Criterion. I'm fine with it. All right. Well, then the last two are from the same dude. So G.W. Pabst, I think was it George Wilhelm?
Yep.
So we'll start with Cameron. So do you know any French, Jason? Can you help me here?
That's German, man.
Oh, did I say I brain fart? We need to catch Aaron's brain fart in the episode, and you get a prize because I have one every time.
Kamerad Schaft. Yeah.
Okay, my wife speaks fluent German, so she would be able to help me, but she's not here. So this is it's a mining movie, 1931. So this is one of his last silent films. Pabst is a big blind spot for me. I still have not seen Pandora's Box. Jason Pabst?
I'm not a connoisseur. I'm kind of like you. It's one of those blind spots that I have as well. But I'm really looking forward to these ones. For some reason, when I saw those two names, I had to go research to see what it was. And it really looks interesting. I'm not a big I don't know much about the silent era except for the like the mainstream mm-hmm. stuff, but this really, really looked good. So it piqued my interest. I might actually be shelling out for these ones, both of them actually. Westfront 1918 and Camera Shaft. It looks really good.
Yeah, so we might as well just talk about both of them. So they're both coming out the same day. We have two Blu-rays, same director. So the other one is Westfront 1918, which is, of course, about the war, the World War One. I love World War One movies. I don't know what it is, but it seems like the batting average is pretty high for those. So, Mark, got anything for Mr. Pabst? And don't make any PBR jokes.
I was about to go there. You know, just give the Pabst blue ribbon. But no, yeah, he's mostly a blind spot for me too. I haven't seen Pandora's Box yet, but I guess the thing I'll mention is, well, two quick things. The Masters of Cinema just put this out a few months ago.
Yep.
In a dual package. It's actually three discs, which I'm assuming is, you know, one Blu-ray, two DVDs, but very light on the supplements. It only has like introductions and a booklet. So, you know, Criterion's mm-hmm. obviously the way to go for us in the US anyway. But and I mentioned Raymond Bernard, you know, you mentioned World War One. I'm excited for both of them, but especially Westfront 1918 because I just love Wooden Crosses. So it's nice to have another, you know, World War One movie in the collection.
I'm saving Wooden Crosses. That's my rainy day movie. Probably not many other Raymond Bernards I'm going to watch. So
sounds so dramatic.
Full supplements. So yeah, you can buy one for the price of one or two, and for the price of two.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to these. I think. Well, we'll get to Pandora's Box in a little bit. So
that's right.
So that's the January slate. So any opinions, Jason? How about we'll rate them 1 through 10? Jason, as far as what you're expecting, give a 1 through 10 for the month.
I don't know, 7 out of 10, I think, you know, with my range of interest. These are all things that I'm interested in. Obviously, now you guys have sold me the Breakfast Club a little bit more, so I'll shut up on that one. Young Mr. Lincoln is something I've always been interested in because, you know, it's a Ford project. Fonda's in it. I love that. And these two last one, Pabst films, those really, really look interesting. And I think those are probably my rainy day films, something I'll put on once the kids are kind of in school. I don't have any grading left to do. And my girlfriend's still at work. And I'll be like, all right, I get to watch what the hell I want. Those are probably two films that I'll be able to put in. So, yeah, that'd be great. Daniel Blake as well. But the Eclipse, like I said, it's not something that I'm actually looking forward to.
All right, Mark, you want to give a rating?
Well, I'll give it an 8. I was going to go a little lower, but because of, you know, just any Eclipse series coming back, that ups the rating. And yeah, most interested in the Pabst films. You know, the others I've seen, I, Daniel Blake, Young Mr. Lincoln, you know, did it need a restoration? 4K is cool. You know, I do like the fact that we've gotten over the Breakfast Club hump because we knew that there was going to be some Hughes coming. So here it is, and we can, you know, move on with our lives. I'm looking forward to watching that. So I'll give it an 8. How about you?
Okay. 10. I love film. 10. I don't know. Probably 7, 8, something like there.
Yeah.
I think it's a good month.
Yeah.
Because we had a break from new shows, so I didn't get to mention the predictions. So we always in the Facebook group we have predictions, and I always get some creative ones. So I'll just let people know that they sucked this month. nobody guessed anything but the Breakfast Club, and that was pretty far down the list. Well, actually, no, it was like 7th, I think. But I'll just say that the I'll just kind of run through some of the top picks. Were Silence of the Lambs was the top pick. It's coming. We just don't know when. And then the second top pick was Wong Kar Wai Super Amazing 100-disc box set, which I added for a little humor. It's not going to be 100 discs. We don't even know. It's kind of an in-joke because we kind of created that rumor and perpetuated it, but there's no basis in reality.
Jeez.
Then Tom Jones, Tree of Life, The Color of Pomegranates, Come and See, and then was The Breakfast Club, Dragon Inn, Elevator to the Gallows.
I'd love that. An update on
Chaplin or Floyd. Yeah, so there's a long list of films that didn't happen. Actually, Under the Skin was pretty far down here. I don't know where that came from. I don't see that happening. You never know. They might surprise us. So, yeah, listeners or forum, or not forum, but Facebook group participants, you suck. Eat it. Bad predictions.
Way to win over the audience.
Yeah. I think I did post something about people should be crying because they failed. But our listeners know that I'm not serious. I love them. So anyway, that's January. So let's we have a lot to cover here. So let's just move on if you guys are okay with it.
Let's do it.
Yeah, man.
So, again, we're doing a month of Criterion. So So what we've, since the last show, we've had David Lynch, The Art Life, The Piano Teacher, Vampire, The Lure, Othello, Barry Lyndon, and Twin Peaks Fire Walk with Me. And then upcoming, we have Personal Shopper this week. So I know that's a lot. Jason, that's of those 20 movies I just read off, any thoughts? Are you gonna buy, or have you bought any of those, or interested?
I'm interested. I don't know if I'll pick up Othello. I mean, it's a good film, but it's not one that I kind of, you know, it's not something that I need to have that I'm going to rewatch over and over again. Mm-hmm. David Lynch, I'm looking forward to seeing that. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. Is it something that I need to purchase on Criterion or just watch once? I don't necessarily know yet. I'll see once I see it. Maybe if I figure that it's like it has some sort of rewatchability, I might shell out for it. I'm a big Kubrick fan, so I have to pick up Barry Lyndon at one point.
Oh, it's a must.
Everybody does.
Yeah. You know, and so, yeah. I mean, I have books. I have like the Tashin books. I have Simon's book on Kubrick. I have like all the short films. I downloaded a copy of Fear and Desire. I haven't purchased the Masters of Cinema out of respect for Kubrick because he didn't want anyone to see it. So I have a copy, but I've never watched it and never will, just out of, you know, respect for his memory.
I've heard it's not so good, but Barry Lyndon is stacked. It just arrived this week or last week. And if I'm disappointed in one thing, it's that the package was just your basic DVD or Blu-ray Scanavo case.
Yeah. But, Digipack would have been nice.
Yeah. I should mention that next week we're doing a big Twin Peaks David Lynch episode. So we'll be talking about both Firewalk with Me and The Art Life, and also the Return. So if you're into David Lynch and Twin Peaks, of course, especially, then I would buy it because I watched the Missing Pieces last night, and there's a lot there.
Yeah.
So Mark, any thoughts on any of these films?
Well, it's amazing. I mean, you go from looking at January, which looks cool, but what we've gotten recently, I mean, this is just an amazing slate. You know, you've got the two Lynch, Barry Lyndon is a must, and, you know, we've got Haneke on Filmstruck, and a release from him. I'm excited to rewatch that. I can't wait to hear your thoughts on The Lure. That's pretty high. You know, looking forward to checking that out. And Personal Shopper, I had a chance to talk about that again on First Time Watchers about a month ago. Some more Asayas in the collection. So I like how, you know, he seems to be a director that Criterion is keeping up with. So it's nice to see that coming, you know, this now. So
not everybody agrees. he's one of those directors that I think there's some opposition for him.
For sure.
Continuing to be canonized. I will say, don't sleep on The Piano Teacher. Another great movie. It's on the top of my stack, and I keep on meaning to watch it, but I just haven't gotten to it yet.
It's a tough film, yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time, though, so I really am looking forward to watching it, but I know that, you know, I know what I'm getting.
Yeah.
All right, so that's really the month of October, and we're going into November. We have a little bit of a break, and then Philadelphia Story, and November is going to be a big month, too. So then we had the newsletter clue, and so this was pretty easy, and it was two sheep, one sheshing the other. Silence of the Lambs, and the sheep had already come out of the, I don't know, what pen, what do sheep stay in?
Yeah, pen sounds right, yeah.
Pen sure. sounds right, yeah.
any shepherds, please chime in and correct me.
I'm thinking of, is it sheep or chickens in Close Encounters of the Third Kind that he lets out when he opens up his, you know, he takes the fence away and, you know, his neighbors, you know, when he's throwing all the stuff in his kitchen so he can build that big mound. I can't remember if it's sheep
for that question.
Or
I don't remember
chicken,
either. I just got that big 4K package, but I don't have a 4K player, so I'm waiting to get that.
Oh, you're one of those guys, too?
You're ready.
Yeah, I'm doing that, too.
Yeah, sometime. Well, there were some jokes. This was very clear, Silence of the Lambs, but I think I joked Killer of Sheep, and somebody took me seriously, and I was
no.
And I think called me out, so I deleted the comment. I was like, no, I got it. And I think there were some jokes about Shaun the Sheep, because I guess I see it. They're silent mostly, but no, this is Silence of the Lambs. Jason, seen Silence of the Lambs?
Many times, and I'm looking forward to upgrading. I already have the Blu-ray version of it. I also have the old Criterion DVD
Good man.
And so I'm hoping that, you know, all the documentaries are going to be there as well, because I really like that film, and I'm glad that they're going to be keeping it in the Criterion Collection. You know, especially, I mean, you know, you got Demi there with Something Wild. I don't know if he's got another one in there, but I mean, Silence of the Lambs would be great to upgrade, and so I'm looking forward. That'll be a definite pickup for me.
Yeah, I have a feeling that it will be stacked, like mammothly stacked.
Yeah.
Probably two discs, lots of features that the DVD. I think they'll go all out for this one. And in fact, there was an interview with Peter Becker, and he kind of teased it that it was coming. And so it's a big deal for them to get
it's
this
awesome.
Film back. So, yeah. So Mark, got anything?
Yeah, I mean, I've got the DVD, and it's been a while since I've seen it. This one just floored me. I remember seeing it in college. The experience was I could just completely picture it. I think they showed it as a free movie. And I mean, there's some stuff on the Criterion DVD, but this one, I think of comparing to recent releases, Sid and Nancy, I think like you said, they're going to go all out and just give us a wonderful release. So
yeah, be great. You know what I'm hoping for? There's a two-disc DVD version that came out a couple of years ago, and they actually had recipes with it.
And
I would love
beans.
It if Criterion. Yeah, exactly.
With fava beans.
I really would love it if Criterion went all out and actually put a recipe book in there for us as well.
How about a cooking show? Why not? with Anthony Hopkins backing
cool.
character. Yeah. I don't know if that's their style. You never know, but they might have some fun with it. But
awesome.
Yeah, anyway, I would expect probably coming. Hopefully first quarter, second quarter maybe of 2018. So anyway, then we had a flash sale this past week. And I think, Mark, you predicted it or somebody predicted it. And then we both – I got an email about it. I know you did as well, Mark.
Yeah.
It just, and I don't know how they figure that out. Maybe just if we've ordered enough, they have our.
Yeah, that's what I figure. You know, if you had enough points or whatever, you're one of their prize customers. They send you the email. I don't know. I've spent too much there, so
I got the email too, guys. So that's cool.
You did?
Oh, nice.
Cool. Okay. All right. From good old Claire. So, Jason, I guess you do participate in flash sales then.
Yeah, not this time, though. I sucked this time. I didn't get anything. Christmas is coming. The kids are getting older, so the gifts are getting a little bit more expensive, and I had a couple of bills to pay.
True.
I wanted to shell out because I haven't gotten the Guillermo del Toro trilogy, and I really wanted to shell out for that one.
Nice.
And it would have been a great opportunity to do so. But
it's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks great. Yeah. It looks so good. I already bought the Criterion Pan's Labyrinth. Because it's one of my favorite films. I own every version of it, like Blu-ray and DVD and whatnot. But yeah, sadly, I couldn't make it happen this time.
Yeah,
that's okay. Well, there'll probably be another one in
the
February,
Barnes & Noble
yeah.
sale
February.
In November.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
the post-Christmas, save some money.
Yep.
Maybe you'll get some gift certificates for Christmas.
I'll be putting it on the list. It'd be great.
the next flash sale will probably be February. It's usually February.
February.
Yeah. Yeah, so you have some time. Mark, these flash sales are always fun for us, but anticlimactic.
Oh, I know.
I think you kind of go a little further.
I was excited. Yeah, I mean, for me, it was just, you know, catching up with everything because I do base most of my buying on the sale. So I get caught up from the Barnes & Noble sale, you know, through July. So this was getting caught up back to August. So.
That's awesome, Mark. That's a joke because Skype cut out and I didn't hear what he said. So I'll listen on the playback and I'll get back to you. But I'm pretty sure you're excited.
Always.
So, it's not as exciting for me because I basically just I've been buying them every week and I kind of look forward to having that something in the mailbox just about every Tuesday. So what I got this time was just stuff I hadn't plopped down for before. So I got the War Trilogy from Rossellini. I got Le Poison, and I got one more. Crap. So it's not important. So and Rossellini, that's my third copy of the War Trilogy. So I'm probably going to do a giveaway. If anybody is interested in a Region B or
Don't do the giveaway.
DVD.
I'll give you my address. I don't have that.
All right. Well, the giveaway might be to Jason. So,
there we go. I'd love to watch those. There's one I've been meaning to get to.
And we haven't really announced it yet, but I'm just going to say that the Rossellini set is going to lead to a project of ours. So
nice.
You can kind of fill in the blanks there, and Mark knows. I think it's going to be pretty freaking sweet. So.
Yeah, dude.
Cool. Looking forward to that.
Anyway, It's always nice to see what people buy in the flash sale. Our good friend Matt, who's been on the show, he posted a stack of his Blu-rays, but he posted them without the spine, so you just see a bunch of shrink wrap. So yeah, very, very clever, Matt. Good job.
I'll be honest, though, February was kind to me, though, because I was talking to a bunch of people online, and so I shelled out for, like, Lady Snowblood, Asphalt Jungle. That was also, I think it's Vengeance is Mine. And so I had a really great time kind of piecing those one together, nice. Especially Lady Snowblood. I'd never seen it. And I mean, it made Kill Bill make that much more sense. And so, yeah, so I was good in February. It was just terrible in October.
It's okay. We're not judging.
I bought Limelight too, I think in February.
All right. Well, let's get back into it. We have a lot of news. I actually kind of condensed a lot because we had a month's worth. So I'm going to kind of run through these pretty quickly. But one thing that's cool is we had a Closet Video, and we had the goddess, Agnes Varda, who's one of my favorite people on the planet. Yeah. It looks like this was an older Closet Video, or maybe it's an edited version. I don't know. She might have taken a break and gone to sleep on the couch. Did you get a chance to watch it, Jason?
Yeah, I loved it. I love how enthusiastic she was, man. She's great. And I love that she picked up Band à Part, you know, Band of Outsiders.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's one of my favorite films. And I love that I like how she explained how much she liked it, how Karina is innocent in there and how much she likes Sammy Frey, you know, and the dance scene. And so it was fun to see her kind of go back to her roots. I don't know. I don't think she was around when they were actually shooting it, but just to see her pick up something that must be nostalgic for her was really, really fun to see. So, yeah, I loved it. I love the enthusiasm.
Definitely part of that movement.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great. Mark?
Yeah, I just love seeing her talk. And she, she really championed Jane Campion, talked about Taste of Cherry, and a little out of print there, too, of the BRD trilogy, but...
Yeah, that was interesting.
It's cool.
I like that she just kind of assembled her favorites and then just like, hey, we're going to cut to the chase. This is it.
Yeah, she kind of edited her own video there, right? She just like...
She did.
Editing in camera.
She directed it. Yeah. She's certainly a director. Her documentary.
Yeah. Her latest movie is out now. Locally, the Vermont International Film Festival is going on this week, and that's the movie that opened it. So, it's nice to see her still working.
Watch it, or
I didn't get over there, so I'm going to have to check it out somewhere else.
Yeah, the French was Visage. What is it, Jason?
Visage.
Visage La Place.
Places.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, anyway.
We're trying to speak French. So.
Yeah, Visage,
I don't know the whole title. What is it again? And I'll tell you.
We're trying to impress you, Jason.
I'm impressed. I like the effort, you know, but at the same time, I spend most of my life speaking English, so it's no big deal.
Yeah, well, I've been to Quebec, and it's kind of like France Junior is what I call it. So.
Right.
Don't tell it to them, but I 100% agree.
there is some pride there, some nationalist pride. So, we also have some Janus tourings, Janus Films, which is a good indication of Criterion movies coming out. So there's Pandora's Box is coming out from Janus, speaking of Pabst. And a lot of people there was a fandom page of Pabst as well. In fact, it was weird. It was just a different spelling. I think it was just the initials where they had his full name before. So a lot of people thought that meant Pandora's Box was coming as an upgrade. I think it is eventually, probably next year, I'm guessing. Again, blind spot, haven't seen it. But then also The Passion of Joan of Arc, another silent classic restoration is available. It's their cover photo on Facebook, and it's going to tour. At first, I think actually somebody sniffed out it was just on their website as a print, which sometimes means nothing. And in fact, I initially wasn't even going to mention it because I thought, that doesn't mean a thing, but it looks like they are going to tour. So I know, Jason, you're not as into silent film, but have you seen Joan of Arc?
No, I like silent film, man. I like it quite a bit, but, I feel bad saying this, but The Passion of Joan of Arc was actually playing here in Quebec City, with a live orchestra for the Quebec City Film Festival.
Ooh, wow.
And I missed it. The timing wasn't right. They didn't give the show press accreditation either, so I had to kind of pick and choose what I was going to see. And then I got a bunch of papers to grade, so the only thing that I was actually lucky to see at the Quebec City Film Festival was Harry Dean Stanton's last film, Lucky. I would have loved to see The Passion of Joan of Arc on a big screen, because I was lucky enough to see last year, it was The Gold Rush, Charlie Chaplin, and there was an orchestra playing. playing.
Fun.
That was great.
Cool. Oh, man.
So, yeah.
Have you seen it before?
Oh, yeah. I'd seen it many times, but it really adds a different layer to have the music there playing at the same time
the
with the punctuation
music,
and all that.
Especially,
yeah, it was great.
Especially this one, yeah.
But yeah, I missed this one.
Voices of Light, the soundtrack they created that... Apparently, it wasn't intended to be there. Apparently, it's supposed to be silent, completely silent, which I think would be a much darker, starker mood. So we'll see if they do the upgrade. We'll see what kind of music options there are. But Mark, got anything about either Pabst or Dreyer?
Well, I guess the main thing is, the Pandora's Box is out of print on DVD, so that'll be nice to get that back.
Right.
And,
yeah, that'd be great.
And the Passion, yeah, it's funny you say that. I, for whatever reason, when I watched it with my wife, and we did actually watch it completely silent. And that was pretty stark and was difficult. Yeah, I've seen there's an ensemble that tours. I think it's an Andrew Alden ensemble, but they tend more towards some of the horror, like they've done Nosferatu live, and I saw that, which is great.
Oh,
so, but yeah, excited for this to be coming back, and it looks like it's. If you're going to book it, it's in DCP Blu-ray and DVD. So, it's covering all the formats. It's good.
I'm going to get some hate for this, but sometimes with silent movies, especially like that, I make my own score and I put my headphones on and I'll play just whatever album I feel like fits.
That's a great idea, man. I love that. That's a really cool idea.
Kind of inspiring yourself.
Sometimes it's just whatever album I like at the time. So it might not
be great. Yeah,
it's like okay. Well, I'm not so much that it's distracting from the film, but I just put on the Bluetooth headphones and just tune out. So
yeah.
All right. Well, we had some Phantom Pages, and I don't know if you keep up with this kind of geekery, Jason, but this doesn't mean anything. In fact, I think these pages mean less now because a lot of times they come to Filmstruck.
Right.
And in fact, I kind of have a feeling. In fact, I kind of know that a couple of these are coming to Filmstruck because a friend of ours sniffed them out. But it's fun to talk about anyway. So, our Phantom Pages. So first, we have Lucas Moodysson. So he's most people think that's going to be fucking a mall what's the American version?
I forget.
Show Me Love. Show Me Love. Fantastic movie, but it could also be Lilia Forever or We Are the Best, but Fucking a Mall, and by the way, that's the actual title. I'm not saying anything about someone named Amal, but that's the Swedish. I think he's Swedish, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It had a restoration, so I think it's most likely that, but probably Filmstruck, although hopefully we'll get some Moodysson in the collection. So, Jason, have you seen any Moodysson?
No, not at all.
Oh,
sorry, that's as good. Much as information as you're going to get. I have no idea.
Sorry. Right, Mark.
Yeah, I've seen We Are the Best, again, opened the Vermont Festival a couple years ago. That was a really good coming of age, one of the best I've seen for a while. So a lot of fun.
Yeah, so is Show Me Love. It's very much coming of age. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's young lesbians. It's a love story kind of. Yeah, I don't want to give too much away, but hopefully it is coming. Even if it's coming to Filmstruck, and I know there's no Filmstruck in Canada, we'll probably get to that. But
yeah,
really good movie. And then the next guy was Cornelio Porumboy. I know that's wrong, but he did Police Adjective, which I tried. That's a part of the Romanian New Wave. I tried to watch that on an airplane. Not a movie to watch on an airplane, so I'll look forward to giving it another shot. Have you seen it, Mark?
I haven't seen that. The
Jason.
The one I've seen is I've seen When Evening Falls in Bucharest. That was one that we were thinking of programming for the monthly screening, and it wasn't a bad film. It just didn't grab me as far as something like that's going to bring people into the theater. And it looks like he was he also did The Treasure, which that was a popular. I guess it's not a documentary. It is fiction, but that was highly touted too. So it seems to be someone to watch.
Yeah. Jason, if you haven't seen Cornelio, are you into Romanian New Wave?
I think, what are those years? I'll tell you if I've seen something.
Now.
Oh
yeah,
no.
No.
Like 2000, probably 2000 till about now.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't
kind
tell
of
you.
Going on.
I remember watching Lucian Pintilli's The Reconstruction. I think it's a movie from 1973. But I don't even know if that's from Romania. It seems to ring a bell, but no, I haven't been following that at all.
Okay. Well, there some great movies, so I that's one I can talk about a while. Cool. And we had Marcel Ophuls, who is the son of Max Ophuls. This is The Sorrow and the Pity, yeah, documentary about, speaking of Holocaust denying and under occupation. This is a movie about the French occupation, or actually really the Vichy government and the resistance, and also the a little bit of Holocaust. Phenomenal documentary. I think it's like 4 or 5 hours. I don't expect either of you have seen it, so I'll just throw it out there. Anybody seen it?
Write that down.
No. Yeah, this is one I'm interested in this because, well, I want to see it anyway, and Milestone has it, either had or has it out on DVD, so and it looks like it is coming or is already on Filmstruck, so that may just be a digital release.
Yeah, it came out on Masters of Cinema, Region B. Mm-hmm. I think it could have been Arrow, but I think it was Masters of Cinema. That was a day one buy for me. Although I still haven't watched it, that's another one I need to be in the mood to watch, a 4-hour documentary about the resistance.
Sure.
Then two more Phantom Pages, F.W. Murnau, which, it would be awesome. It's actually kind of surprising there's no Murnau in the collection.
Yeah.
And then the other one was Kent Jones, who is we know is a scholar and has made a lot of documentaries, so don't know. Jason, got anything for Murnau or Jones? I know that's not exactly a good pairing.
Murnau, well, I own Sunrise, the Masters of Cinema version of it. Mm-hmm. I love that film so much. And then Kent Jones, I don't know, isn't he the one who directed the movie on Hitchcock this year?
He did Hitchcock Truffaut, yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so that was all right. I mean, it was a fun one, but, you know, it's not something I necessarily watch over and over again. It's mostly stuff that we've already heard before on different documentaries just compiled into one thing. So,
yep. Yeah, I prefer the book form of that, which we...
Yeah, it's a great read. I love it. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
A certain somebody bought that book for me. Mm-hmm. I think it could be A Letter to Elia. That's a documentary that I think he did for... the PBS series, I think it was American Masters.
That could be interesting.
There could be an Elia Kazan movie coming out, and that might be a supplement. So, or it could be a Filmstruck thing. I think it's most likely Filmstruck. So, okay. Mark, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to figure out what would be coming from Ken Jones. I mean, he also did the he did Val Lewton, The Man in the Shadows. So again, maybe that's
It's already on Cat People. So yeah.
Oh, okay.
May not. Maybe it's a retro.
I have to pick
retro
that one up
page.
Too.
Yeah, haven't seen.
All right,
that.
So I'm gonna have to go quickly through a lot of these. So there were a bunch of people that showed up at Criterion that they had little Instagram pictures. So I'm just gonna list them off. They're pretty amazing people. Barry Jenkins, Jim Jarmusch, Joachim Trier, and Arnaud Desplechin. So, Jason, got any thoughts about those? That fearsome foursome?
I've only watched the Barry Jenkins closet video, which was really, really great. He was really, really fun to watch. The enthusiasm that was seeping off of him, too. I always love it when these guys get into the closet for the first time and they're like, look at this, mm-hmm. I'm finally here, you know?
Right.
So that's great. But I haven't seen Jarmusch's video, nor have I seen Trier's video. So I'd probably have to check those ones out as well.
I don't think Jarmusch did a video. Trier
okay, that's
did,
what I was. But, I was because I usually watch those. So I mean, no, I haven't seen anything about. I didn't check out his Instagram pictures or anything like that.
Mark,
yeah, I think with those Joachim Trier, he's got a movie playing at the festival. He's certainly an up and comer, someone to watch. Mm-hmm. I liked Oslo, August 31st was my favorite of his so far. I did like Louder Than Bombs too. Arnaud Desplechin, we watched, what did we see from him?
My Golden Days.
Christmas Tale. My Golden Days. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I love that film. We did an episode.
I still haven't seen it, but I've probably mentioned it numerous times on this podcast, but
I
love Kings and Queen is a tremendous film, but it's not available. So hopefully, hey, Criterion, I'll keep shout for it. Make it happen someday. And then there were two posters that came out, and actually speaking of Jana's films, one of them is The Other Side of Hope by Aki Kaurismäki, so that's probably going to come, I guess, next year.
That's cool.
And the other one is some movie called Night of the Living Dead.
Never heard of it.
It's a good-looking poster.
Yeah, it's a nice...
It is.
Yeah. It was really good.
That totally looks like a Criterion cover. I mean, that's the cover for the Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah, 100%, man.
Yeah, we know it's coming. That's another Jana's tour. So I mean, it's not... like guaranteed, but pretty much.
Yeah.
And then Film Forum had has Memories of Underdevelopment 4K screening coming in January. So that's a Film Foundation WCP film. So that's probably coming as well. So I don't think any of us have seen that. It's about Cuba.
Nope.
Yeah. So we will. And then a little sad note, Danielle Dariu passed. So she has been in a lot of things. Let's see. I think she's worked with Max Ophuls.
Yeah.
And The Earrings of Madame Deux. And she was in Rochefort with Jacques Demy, speaking of Agnes Varda. So she passed. She was 100.
100 years,
so
yeah.
That's
impressive.
Yeah. If I make it to 100, don't cry. That's
yeah.
Pretty damn good, though.
Yeah, she was in. I had to rely on IMDb, but she was the grandmother's voice in 2007's Persepolis.
That's right.
She's working late. It's cool.
Yeah, that is. Working in into her 90s. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. So, I think Madame Dill might be the only criterion. I could be wrong. Let me look. Rochefort, of course.
Right.
Those two. So, she's been in a ton of things. Okay, was in Meyerling, La Ronde, Le Plaisir, and also on Chambre de Ville.
That's right.
She's been in a ton. Yeah, a huge French star. So, I hate to say this. I didn't even know she was alive. I've seen her movies a lot. But rest in peace. There's actually another RIP that I just learned about. In fact, this is going to hit you, Jason, if you didn't know. But and I forget his name, but the gentleman from Kronos passed. Federico Lupi died at 83.
Oh, that's too
really?
Bad.
When was this, man? That
just last night. We're recording this on Sunday morning.
Oh, man, that blows. I was just finishing up Kronos last night.
Just passed. But maybe he lives on in vampiric form. Maybe he's in some bathroom licking blood somewhere. You gotta have some humor about it. But I know we're going to talk about Kronos a little bit, but that performance is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so anyway, just to kind of wrap up all the Criterion stuff, one thing we are going to do more going forward is use the Facebook group, the Criterion Now group, to let other people share their comments. So I got sick and had to cancel the show where we were going to talk about certain women, but I just wanted to mention a couple of the comments. Let me find them here. I'll put the thread in the show notes, but there were some great comments. Most people loved the film, Certain Women, and I enjoyed it quite a bit, too. It's a good... it's really a collection of short stories, really three stories with very tenuous connections, but they kind of stand on their own. I think the first and the third, I think, really stood out for me as being the best. And the second one was interesting. And it's kind of the glue that holds it together. Probably one that makes it more of a difference on a rewatch. But yeah, Tim, Miguel, Rod, Matt, Jeffrey, Dean, and myself, thank you for commenting. I think this is a good start because probably not one that many people have seen, but I did enjoy it. It's Kelly Reichardt. So I'll just throw it out to you guys. Have you seen Certain Women? Not to put you on the spot.
I haven't seen it yet, no, but I've heard good things, so I'm looking forward to it.
It's good. It's a slow burn, but good. Mark, have you seen it yet?
No, I'm just waiting for that Criterion Blu-ray to show up, but big Reichardt fan, so looking forward to this one.
Cool. Was that mentioned in the flash sale that I didn't hear?
Yeah. Well, I didn't mention it, but I picked it up and it's one. I mean, it's got just some of the best working actresses right now, so looking forward to it.
It's really good, and I think even if you don't like, well, if you like Reichardt, you'll love it.
Yeah.
I think, but I didn't love it, but I think it's up there with her stuff. So
cool.
All right. Well, we are running long. Surprise, surprise. How long are we running? Yeah, a little bit long. So
you're doing fine, man. We did a show on Dunkirk that was longer than the film. So you guys are fine.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, David's been putting in 3-hour podcasts, but we always try to keep it like between an hour and a half would be ideal. But we have a lot to talk about here. So speaking of Kronos, I know that's what you're going to talk about. Let's do some short takes. So, Jason, what do you got to say about Kronos?
You know, like I said earlier, we're gearing up for our Guillermo del Toro retrospective. And I'd seen bits and parts of Kronos back in the day, but I'd never really sat down and watched it, like, full swing. Mm. And so when I finished it last night, I really, really loved it. And I like how Del Toro's take on vampirism has a lot to do more with the insatiable lust capitalism creates, you know, and mm-hmm. how it drains people of their cultural heritage or any given cultural symbol and its meaning or place in history. So it's like a form of cultural appropriation in a way. And I think it also reflects how people are too busy thinking about the future rather than living the life in the present. So it was really, really interesting to see that. I think that there are many instances in the film that question the very nature of eternal life in heaven or hell or perhaps like both mm-hmm. in a similar fashion, you know, or because, you know, of the people that you leave behind, it gets a little bit more complex than actually just wanting to, you know, stay there forever. And I think one of the things that I'll be talking about on the show, but I'll give a little glimpse here, is the dichotomous presentation of light in the film. The fact that Jesus Grease, the now late Mr. Loopy, yeah,
right.
as Jesus, a vampire, yeah. you know, can't be in the light because it burns him. But the fact that his granddaughter is named Aurora, which is kind of dawn in Spanish, means the coming of light. You know, it leads to his salvation. So on one side, you'll have that death because of if he goes into the light, it's going to burn him because he's a vampire. And on the other side, it's the one thing that actually leads him to his salvation. Mm-hmm. So I think those mm-hmm. kinds of twists are really make Kronos a great pick, of a film, you know, to pick apart, sorry. And mm-hmm. so I'm looking forward to continuing the dissection on Atlantic SC. I haven't really read the essays. I think I've downloaded or found like scholarly essays. I've got 20 or 21 to get through in order to kind of really delve into a lot of Del Toro's work. And I recently was watching an interview with him where he picks apart Kronos, and he's just such a charming man to listen speak. The guy's mm-hmm. brain is amazing. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I really, really loved Kronos. So that Del Toro trilogy is going to be on my shelves eventually, coming soon.
Well, we did an episode on Kronos, and I don't remember if we caught that about the name. Or I think we spoke about a good hour and a half about it. So, yeah, but if you want to hear my comments, I don't remember.
That's all good. I'll go download it. I'll steal all your information and put it on our show.
Sure, yeah, it's your for the taking. So, Mark, what's your short? Or do you want to tag Kronos? Or?
Yeah, well, the one thing I wanted to tag about Kronos is I appreciate on the Atlantic Screen connection that, as Lee calls it, Jason, your crackpot theory. So I can't wait to hear your crackpot theory on Kronos. I think you got a little taste there, but, you know, we'll see what it is.
Yeah, I haven't done those in a while, but that'll be interesting.
Yeah. We'll see how that coalesces.
Cool.
those are always fun. So, I really paired this with, I was like, well, you know, we've got on Filmstruck Val Lewton, a bunch of his produced films on Filmstruck. So I'm like, well, I need to finally watch Cat People. So I watched Cat People. I haven't seen the remake, so just seen the original. And just briefly, I'm going to give my own kind of crackpot theory on this movie. One of the scenes that really took me was where she is talking about loneliness, where and she says, I love mm-hmm. silence. I love loneliness. And, you know, you think of a cat as an animal, it's more of a solitary creature. You know, it'll come to you when it wants to, and if it doesn't want you to see it, it won't. So I think of it as really the – this isn't mentioned in the movie, but being an introvert myself, I think of her as an introvert. And I can see some parallels, you know, of this to introversion. Mm-hmm. It actually has a little bit of a parallel too, I think, to Mother in the Aronofsky movie, because
don't spoil me, man.
No. Well, the only thing I'm going to say there is that that movie, some people have referred to it as an introvert's nightmare, which it absolutely is. It made me just, you know, crawl in some instances. And this, I just related to her as a character because, you know, she's a cat and she just loves being alone. And, you know, as an introvert, people, you need your kind of alone time to kind of recharge and be able to deal with the world. Mm-hmm. So it's her dealing with this world and, you know, what she becomes. So, yeah, cat people,
yeah,
introversion.
Yeah, I think it's amazing.
And
Val Lewton could do no wrong. And what I love about him is the scares are not in your face.
Right.
There's maybe a creepy vibe in all of them, but there's but he's addressing social issues and everyone is just a tremendous character study. And of course, this is one of the
Shadow and Sound. You know, that's all his movies are. It's great.
Curse of the Cat People is great too, and you know, not a lot of great sequels in the 40s. Hmm. Well, my short take is The Lure. Agnieszka, I didn't practice this, so I'm not even going to try her last name. I'm just going to say it. Call her Smo. Hmm. Smo.
There you
Agnieszka
go.
Agnieszka Smo. So The Lure is a... All right, well, the synopsis is the most fun part about this film. It's a... trying to find the genre. So it's a vampire, mermaid, musical, rock opera. what else? Romance... Horror. It's not too horrific. It's something else. The biggest, most zany genre mashup I think I've ever seen. Not safe for work alert. You can't really look up this movie without seeing boobies in the frame. Because it's mermaids, they're pretty much always, even the Criterion page is not for safe for work. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't love it. Sorry, I know some people really did like it. I love the idea behind it. I love that they took just the sense of adventure, that they really went for something this balls out. Or not balls out.
Boobs out.
Boobs out. Yeah, man. Come on. Stay on theme.
And some of the music was fun. Like, you know, it's very energetic. It's very modern. It's kind of techno-y in a little way. I could actually see it, just listening to it in the car or something might be fun.
Oh, yeah.
But tonally it was so different from the darker vibe in the movie. And I could also tell the special effects. I don't think they had a great budget, so, you know, trying to put mermaids, I don't want to pick it apart, but yes. So this was actually like my least favorite. You know, I have that running list of my my favorite Criterions I've watched of the year,
right,
for the year. This is at the bottom. Sorry. I think it was still like 5 out of 10, but I don't know what to say. Sorry, I didn't like it. So have you guys seen it yet?
No.
No, but I'm interested, because I don't understand. There's a fascination with mermaids out there. You know, you're seeing it even, Stephen Chow had made a movie as well, I think, about called The Mermaid over in Hong Kong, if I'm not mistaken.
Hmm.
And it's just a really weird kung fu exploitation thing with this killer mermaid somewhere in there. And so, I don't know, maybe, you know, everyone's gearing up for the new mermaid craze that's coming, and this is probably the one that launched it back in.
Maybe, yeah.
But I don't know. It seems interesting. I was just looking up the synopsis while you were talking, and not that I wasn't paying attention. I can do two things at the same time, contrary to what we think. But and it looks funny. I don't know why. It looks funny.
I will say it is a lot of fun. And so even though I you know, it's not my favorite movie, I kind of enjoyed watching it. It's a short movie. It's like an hour and a half.
Yep.
It goes by quick. It's, you know, like I mentioned, it's very poppy. I'd say actually that's my problem with it. It's almost too superficial, and there is a character study, and there probably are some layers you could unpack or peel off that I think maybe the viewer at least leave too much for the viewer to do. But again, you know, I tend to be, well, I don't tend to be, but I can be a little tougher. Although this year I've kind of liked everything. So yeah, this was not for me. So anyway, we have a month worth of film struck. So let's move on to that. Jason, I know you don't get film struck, but it really doesn't matter. We just use this as a way to talk about people. So, I will start by saying there's just an FYI, there are student plans. So they have like a reduced cost student subscription.
Cool.
I'm not a student anymore, but I guess it's $39 per year. For if you are, you probably have to provide some sort of proof.
Yeah, what a great idea, though.
Yeah, I was looking that up.
Very commendable.
You just have to put in your university name and a school email address. So,
you
know, I don't know what you need, but that's a great deal. $40 versus $100 for the year.
Well, in that case, I could get one because I still have my my university address, but I'm not going to cheat the system. Yeah. I'm going to be honest. But yeah, if you're a student, I think the libraries have had that service that have a lot of Criterion streaming for free. So I wonder if this is an attempt to kind of keep up with that.
That'd be great, yeah.
But anyway, great idea, Filmstruck. Yep. Way to take care of your students. The website changed. It relaunched. I think this is just the actual website, not the app. But they now have expiration dates on the movie pages. So that's a kind of a good big deal. You can know when you can no longer see the movie.
That's a great deal. Yeah. I mean, that's so tough. I wish more places would do that. I don't think, like, I've always wanted, like, Netflix to do that. You know, no,
yeah.
Tell me how long I have to watch this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right. Well, so to be honest with you, we have a month of Filmstruck, and they have a ton of content. It's rotating. So it makes sense. It works better on a week-to-week basis. There's always a lot to talk about. Month-to-month basis, not so much. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to speed round some stuff.
Here comes the music.
Yeah, so if you want more than 5 seconds, so we'll give you a little. So in fact, that means I'm not going to keep it up. But we're going to kind of run through some of these things, and I'm going to skip a lot. We just can't talk about them so much. In fact, no speed round yet. We'll save that for a little later. But the one thing they've been doing on the main channel are directors of the week. So I'll just kind of go around the room, and we'll talk about each one of those. But so there was a William Wyler. So Jason, have you seen much Wyler?
I know the name. I'm still trying to figure out, what did he direct? I might have seen a couple of those.
Ben-Hur is his biggest one, probably.
I've seen Ben-Hur.
Of their lives, The Heiress.
Nope, haven't seen The Heiress.
Funny Girl,
yeah, he's
Roman Holiday.
Yeah, he's an icon.
Oh, yeah, I've
he's
seen those. Yeah, Roman Holiday and all that. I've seen that. Those are good movies. I like him.
He really is one of those auteurs that doesn't draw attention to himself, yeah. Just kind of worked within the system and made great films. If you look at his filmography, you've probably seen 20 films, but they don't. Studied him in a film class, so I remember
him a little
better.
He was part of the recent documentary, Five Came Back, wasn't he not?
He was, yes.
Okay, there you go. So,
He actually, and I haven't seen the documentary yet, I read the book, but he actually didn't go to the war effort. He stayed home and made Best
movies.
Years of Our Lives,
exactly,
which was like probably the best movie about war. Whereas everybody else were making movies about the actual war,
yeah.
And I think that was kind of like maybe a little jealousy. But I'll say that I'll just list off the movies on the Filmstruck. These three: Dead End, The Westerner, Wuthering Heights, The Little Foxes,
right.
The Best Years of Our Lives, and Dodsworth. And Dodsworth is a near masterpiece. So, Mark, you got anything for Mr. Wyler?
No. I mean, just I like you said, he's just unsung, and I haven't seen some of his bigger ones, like The Best Years of Our Lives. Ben-Hur is, you know, fast becoming an Easter staple, but yeah, he's.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of funny.
It's a big one.
Sorry. Wuthering Heights is when I was watching the interview with Del Toro, Wuthering Heights, he liked the novel. You know, the whole gothic nature of it. And so I'm pretty sure that Del Toro must really, really enjoy Wyler's film as well.
I'm sure. Yeah, it's actually a great adaptation. So then we had Volker Schlondorf. So he's part of the German New Wave. So I'll just list the movies here. New German Cinema, I think is what they called it. So The Lost Honor of Katharina Blum, Circle of Deceit, Voyager, Death of a Salesman, which is he went to Hollywood later. Calm at Sea, The Ogre, Diplomacy, The Tin Drum, which is on Criterion, and The Young Torlus, also on Criterion, and Coup de Grâce, which is, I think it was on Filmstruck, well, obviously is now, and Swan in Love. So, Mark, have you seen, I know you've seen The Tin Drum.
Yeah, that's the only one I've seen. Coup de Grâce, that's a Criterion DVD, but yeah, I mean,
Oh, it is.
Tin Drum kind of blew me away. I mean, the performance, the child performance, I forget his name now, and just the surreal nature of it. Of course, it's Palme d'Or winning Academy Award. That's probably for as crazy and strange as that movie is, it may actually be a good starting point. Or maybe it was just in my wheelhouse. But yeah, big fan of that and need to see more.
Yeah, I know he's kind of obscure, but got anything for Schlondorf, Jason?
Death of a Salesman, that's the one with Hoffman, right?
This is the 80s one with... it is Dustin Hoffman,
I remember seeing that. I haven't seen The Tin Drum yet, and those are the only two names that ring a bell.
I was thinking of Philip Seymour Hoffman. So.
No, Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, yeah. No, actually, so the 80s, he went to Hollywood, made a few films there, and the it's been a long time since I've seen it, but his Death of a Salesman adaptation is considered one of the best, and I think my wife has taught it. So
nice.
So yeah, that I even though I haven't seen it, I think I feel pretty safe in recommending it. Anyway, this next guy, I think we know, this dude named Michael Haneke. Mm-hmm. So. We've talked about him extensively, Mark, but Jason's laughing, so we'll let him start. Well, I'll just list. There's Seventh Continent, Benny's Video, 71 Fragments, The Castle, Funny Games, Code Unknown, The Piano Teacher, The White Ribbon, and Amour. So, Jason, Michael Haneke. It's like going to Disneyland.
I don't like Michael Haneke. I've always had trouble. I sitting through The White Ribbon, at one point I wanted to stab myself in the eyes. That's how bored I was. Wow. Amour, the same thing. It was like watching, I think the best quote that I could probably do is, what's his name? Gene Hackman, who once said that watching an Eric Romer film was to like watching paint dry. And I think Amour was exactly like that as well for me.
Hmm.
Funny Games is an interesting one though. I think that was cool. And I love the notoriety that's around that. I prefer his version to the remake. Even the English remake that he made, I think he remade his own film here in the United States. Well, not here in the United States, over where you guys are. Mm-hmm. But
You're pretty close.
I don't get it. I just don't get. I don't give a shit about his aesthetics. Anything. It was really on the nose most of the time in The White Ribbon. Even Amour, I like the performances. I'm not going to bash on that. But when I was watching it, I was like, yeah, okay, they're getting old. Fine. What's the point? Right. I don't give a shit.
You and Doug would have a lot in common.
That's right. Yeah,
but Haneke.
Agree to disagree. I'm a big Haneke fan, but Mark and actually the white ribbon I think is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
So
I like it,
Mark.
No,
yeah,
I mean, have
I just
it's okay.
Yeah, I mean he's I think he's another one of those just love or hate. Every film that I've seen of his, I've pretty much loved. Amour was my favorite movie of the year it came out. I think it was 2012. So there we go.
I'll be leaving now. No, I'm kidding.
That's one of my lesser favorites of his. I respected especially the performances, but I could not get into that as much. So in that regard, we kind of agree there, Jason.
Yeah.
Cool.
Funny Games is great. The White Ribbon, Piano Teacher. I think, have you seen The Piano Teacher, Jason?
A while back. But I remember liking that, though.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That
I remember liking that.
It's different.
I want to say that's one for everyone. No, it's not one for everyone.
it's tough, but yeah.
It is very, but it's, yeah, it's more accessible in a way. It's kind of baffling.
He's an event director for me. I mean, he's just someone I look forward to every time something comes out. Because I know it's going to be provocative. I know people are going to be talking about it. I'm going to like it, so.
and I can't wait for his new one to come out. So, all right. And so in the Halloween spirit, which we're kind of in, that's why we did horror films. There was the last director of the week was Mario Bava. So, of course, he's Italian horror staple. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to read the films off because
it's a lot of them.
If you've seen a Bava film, they're pretty distinctive. So are you a Giallo fan, Jason?
Oh, man.
Or do you like horror?
No, I can't watch horror because I don't sleep at night. I've seen Night of the Living Dead and all that. I know that's not Bava, by the way. Just checking out right now what he's done, to see if I've actually seen anything. Black Sunday I might have seen that a while back, but let me see.
There was another Black Sunday in the 70s, not the same one.
No. Let me see.
Yeah, it's okay.
Black Sabbath.
Nope, I don't remember seeing any of his stuff, which, your fans, the guys that listen to this are going to be like, why the fuck did you bring Jason on? What the hell is he talking about?
That's okay. Mario Bava, he's pretty obscure, and he's not on Criterion. So,
right. Yeah, he's an Arrow staple, speaking of your last show.
We did talk about him on my last show. So do you like Bava, Mark?
I don't know if I've seen anything, which is odd. He's kind of, this being horror month, taking this opportunity to see, I wanted to start with, because I think for Giallo, I've only seen a couple, the Bird with the Crystal Plumage and Suspiria. And so I'm actually going to use this as an opportunity to watch The Girl Who Knew Too Much, who's also from Arrow, which I don't think is in the collection on Filmstruck. So I'm going to watch a couple of his because I know I need to see some more.
Did I give that to you?
No, I picked it up from Amazon UK.
Darn it. I have two copies, and I think I meant to send you one. And I don't know where the other one is, but yeah. So I think I set it aside and never did send it.
It's fine.
All right. Well, so for the Filmstruck stuff, I have to skip some things, but I'll just say, since we've kind of already talked about it, there's a collection about films made during the occupation. We kind of talked about that with the Eclipse series. There's also a documentary film on the Holocaust, Marcel Opel's. We already talked about that. And then Val Lewton horror. We kind of talked about that. Mm-hmm. So I recommend, especially the Val Lewton.
Yeah.
Well, actually all of those. And Children of Paradise for the occupation movies.
For the for the Val Lewton, I just want to mention how short they are. So if you're looking for something to watch,
yeah.
And for you, Jason, they're not that scary. So I think you could sleep at night. I'm with you. Sometimes certain horror movies, they get me and I can't sleep. These ones are okay.
The old stuff, yeah. I'm okay with, mm-hmm. you know, because I think that there's more terror involved, and they take their time in setting stuff up.
Right.
The new stuff with the jump scares is one of those things that I can't stand, you know. So to mm-hmm. me, that's not being scared; it's provoking a scare, as opposed to being just mm-hmm. outright terrifying.
Yeah,
you know.
Just
so
creeped out
I like the older stuff, you know. Yep. But
good.
So there's also cinematic overtures, how to read opening scenes. And unfortunately, I haven't watched a lot of these because I just I haven't had time. I guess when you're not doing a podcast every week. So that looked intriguing.
It does.
But,
yeah.
You know, actually, I can't find it on Filmstruck. I think they rotated it off. And then there's Cinema Through the Eye of Magnum, which is a documentary about a photojournalist. So I really wanted to see that, but I haven't yet. So those are all the collections. So any thoughts on any of those? Nope.
Yeah.
All right. The Criterion Channel, we had a thing on M, which was fun. Meet the Filmmakers, the Safdies. That was pretty cool, but I didn't watch it. And it's an hour-long documentary, and then pretty much their prominent films. I think, Mark, have you seen a couple of those?
I've seen... Oh, what have they done recently? I have. I've seen... Oh, Heaven Knows
Good
What.
Time.
I've seen. That's okay. The only one I've seen, which is...
Heaven Knows
really
What.
Really good. Exactly. Yeah, they're another, you know, group to watch, you know, a couple of filmmakers to watch. What's the this is great podcasting here.
They're like indie filmmakers.
Yeah, well, and a good time. I've heard a lot of good things about. Yeah. Some of our, you know, our friends have talked about them. I think In Session have seen it, or First Time Watchers. So really looking forward to seeing that. But I mean, as far as the drug culture right now, I think as far as a kind of a more modern take on drug culture, I mean, if you're a fan of Requiem for mm-hmm. a Dream, I would highly recommend Heaven Knows What. It's impressive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Write that down.
Well, Good Time is not on this list, but I think that's because it's Lionsgate A24. So, but I'm looking forward to that. Apparently, a lot of people think that's one of the better movies of the year.
Yeah.
Safdies, Jason?
No, man. The name rings a bell. It's something that you know, that I've seen circulating. I'm looking forward to seeing Good Time. It looks great. Mm. Looks like an interesting take on Scorsese's After Hours, so that should be a really fun parallel to draw there. Now that Mark has mentioned Heaven Knows What, I'm going to definitely take a look at that. But yeah, I don't know much about them. I like what you said about M earlier, though. I really enjoyed that film. So maybe I'll be able to check that out.
So M is great, but they every month there's a series observations on film art with the Wisconsin Film mm. Studies team. So they kind of broke down the sound in M. So yeah, if you had Filmstruck, it would be great. So all right, well the next one is one that our good friend like we're hanging out and drinking beers, like Sean Baker, he recommended is the Paradise Trilogy with Ulrich Seidel's film. So I wouldn't have expected you guys to see this. In fact, it wasn't even on my radar until he mentioned
yeah,
it. But it showed up on Filmstruck. So I actually I powered through and I watched the whole trilogy.
Wow.
Yes. Well, it's been, I think, a week or two, so I just kind of made time for him. Did you get to him, Mark?
I haven't. This is pretty high on my list. I think, didn't they compare him to Haneke? So I'm on board.
No.
No? Okay.
Well, maybe I could see. It's not as harsh.
Okay.
I'll just kind of give the lowdown. I do recommend all three. I'd say the latter, the first and third, are the best, which is that's actually often the case with trilogies. I don't know why, except for Star Wars.
Hey, but, be nice.
That's right.
So the first one is about there's a mother-daughter, and the latter one is about the daughter going to diet camp, and the first one is the mother going to Kenya for sex tourism. the first one is by far the best, Paradise Love. And I think it doesn't matter who you are. I think you can find some enjoyment in this film. I will say it's rather racy. And also it's middle-aged women that, you know, this is not the most attractive. You know, they wear their age. But I think that's kind of the point, is that they're real people.
Right.
And then of course the latter one is Diet Camp. So her daughter is a little heavy and goes to this camp. Actually I would go to this camp. I need a diet, to lose weight and exercise. But of course they're, as kids, they're not into it. And then the middle one, which is the one I liked the least, because I thought it was a little more, the least real. I thought they took some leaps, was Paradise Faith. Which is a lady dealing with religion, obsession with religion, but it took some logical leaps that I wasn't on board with. But anyway, yeah, it's on Filmstruck for a little while. Highly recommend watching the trilogy, and Sean recommended it as well, so I'm sure he'll be happy that I enjoyed it.
Excellent.
Anyway, so and then there's four Jean-Pierre Melville editions: Le Samurai, Le Cercle Rouge, Les Enfants Terribles, and le deuxième souffle.
The deuxième souffle. Souffle is cooking. Souffle is a breath.
Oh, nice.
It basically translates to the second wind. So if you go jogging or something like that, you get tired the first time, and then after that, you get that second wind, so it keeps going.
That's cool.
That's the deuxième souffle. That's what it
second
means.
Wind.
Les Enfants Terribles basically is a nomenclature that we guys use when we talk about Terry Gilliam, for example.
Yeah. Well, I've seen the film, and I don't think I looked up the translation, but that absolutely makes sense.
Yeah.
So this is not the Filmstruck cooking show. We're not going to cook souffles, but Melville seems like the kind of guy you might like, Jason. Have you seen any Melville?
Yeah, I love his film so much.
I think you have a poster behind you. Is that that's Delon behind
that's
you?
That's actually
from
a painting I made of Delon from Le Cercle Rouge.
Yeah.
Delon's there. I mean, Cercle Rouge is I love that film so much.
It's great. Mm-hmm.
There was also, let's see what I have. I have two versions of The Army of Shadows.
I have the
DVD, and I also have the Blu-ray. Once they said there was going to be out of print, I was like, screw that. I don't care how much it costs. I need the Blu-ray. So I got that. The Samurai is one that I have to upgrade because I already have the DVD, but I love that film so much. There was also, I have Léon Marin Prêt here as well. I haven't watched it yet. It's still in its shrink wrapping, but I have to check that out.
And for those that don't speak French, that's Leon Morin Priest.
Yeah, nice. Léon Morin Prêt. What's the other one that I have that's his? There's another one.
Le Doulos. That one's out of print on DVD.
Yeah, Le Doulos, I'd have to see. That's another one with
Belmondo.
Or the, what's the Resistance one?
The Resistance one is L'Armée des Ombres, which is the Army of Shadows.
Silence of the Mare, The Silence of the Sea.
I love that one.
Okay, wasn't that his first film?
It's his first film,
That's a pretty good film.
Yeah, and then he did
Bob Le Flambeur. I'd love for them to re-release that because the old DVD version is not bad, but it's time old. For it to come back there.
Yeah.
It's not coming back. We don't think so. So that's actually a good point. So that's a Studio Canal disc. And so a lot of the Melvilles are out of print because of Studio Canal. In fact, Cercle Rouge is, and I might be saying that wrong, that's out of print. So it's a big deal that's on Filmstruck. Yeah. I don't know. Do you think that means anything, Mark?
I really don't, because of the Studio Canal hell. I just think it's, hey, you know, we don't have the physical rights, so here it is digitally. So thank you, Filmstruck.
There you go. Yeah,
yeah, but still, I like that that at least there's a way to see it without shelling out a lot of money. And I think that one goes for a pretty penny. Leon Morin does not. Army of Shadows, justifiably, is pretty expensive. That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
It's so good.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, so dense. And I love, and we've talked about French Resistance a lot, but I love French Resistance movies. And then the last thing was Adventures of Movie Going with Philip Kaufman, a little short interview. So he, of course, did The Wanderers. He did Invasion of the Body Snatchers. He did The Right Stuff. So he's done a lot of work. Big-time American director. He's getting up there in age. I think he's 80 now. Jason, are you a fan of Kaufman? Any of those movies?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think maybe. I'd have to check it out, but
he wrote the Indiana Jones films, the original trilogy.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, yeah. So
He's definitely getting paid from that. Because so, if you look at his filmography, I'll bet that he's gets credits, writing credits on everything.
Yeah, but the name, I know the name. That's the thing. So I'll definitely be looking into that. That'd be great. But
Unbearable Lightness of Being, he was the writer of that. So and director. So that's out of print Criterion.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so he's pretty big deal. So I watched some of the interview. I didn't get to all of it. And he talked about Chicago, which actually what he was talking about, if you've seen The Wanderers, which I highly recommend, basically that was his life. So, and of course, The Right Stuff is, I love astronomy, and it's one of my favorite astronomy movies. Maybe one of the best astronomy movies of all time.
There you go. Yeah, man, The Right Stuff. I love that film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, anything awesome. That has to do with space and whatnot, I'm always in for that, you know, nice. And I like the documentaries that they did, but The Right Stuff, I watched it, I think, three weeks ago.
All right, I'm going to skip the short plus features every week, so if you don't watch them. So, all right, you guys want some speed round?
Sure. Let's speed it.
All right. Speed round. So we have 5 seconds, and if you haven't seen it, you just pass. So we're going to talk about digital spines, and you know what? Fuck it. Friday double features too. So digital spines. So, okay, speed round music starts now. All right, Christopher Nolan's debut film, The Following. 5 seconds, Jason.
Solid debut. I really enjoyed it. I don't own the Criterion. I'll probably upgrade eventually.
Just Following, not The Following. I think that was M. Night.
That's right.
Mark.
You see the influence on that film on his latest movie, that Dunkirk. So, yeah, Playing with Time. Good movie.
Yeah, it's been a while. I agree, solid debut. Nolan is one of those guys that's, has his detractors. But, all right, the next one is On the Waterfront, and I'll mix it up here. Elia Kazan, kind of a big deal. I could have been a contender. Mark.
I love it. Beautiful, beautiful package. One of the best they've produced. It's a great movie.
Jason, could you have been a contender?
just threw me off right there. Possibly. Maybe not as much as Brando's character in the film, but yeah, I really love the film as well. And I love the packaging that Criterion had on there, but I know this is the digital. I already own it, so yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
I like what Mark said. It's
everything's fair game. So, yeah, I'll just say I love the movie. That scene, the car scene, even though it's you've seen it a million times, still keeps its charm. That's that's Brando at his best, in my opinion.
I like the swing set so then, scene.
Harold and Maude, Hal Ashby. Jason, have you seen the quirky Harold and Maude?
Pass, sadly.
It's okay. Mark.
I'm just going to say one name, Ruth Gordon.
Yes. Pretty dark. So if you like movies about creative suicides...
I'll write it down. I'll watch it tomorrow.
It is really quirky. Yeah, it's great. Very 70s. All right, Carnival of Souls. Mark, I think we talked about this one before.
Yeah, that's all I was going to say is just listen to our podcast. We had Eric Ford on there. It was a good time.
Yeah. No. Yeah, Jason.
Pass.
Carnival of Souls.
Sorry.
I know it's a horror. I think you could probably...
I'll probably watch it eventually. It's on the list.
All right, and then Todd Solondz, Life During Wartime. Jason?
Interesting exercise in filmmaking. Rather dull, but interesting nonetheless as a follow-up to Happiness.
Yeah, Mark?
I haven't seen this one, but I'm a Solondz fan, so yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I am too. Don't bother. this was not my favorite. In fact, this is my least favorite. All right, so Friday Night Double Features. I'm just going to continue speed round. So I'm just going to say Lucretia Martel, and you might be passing here.
Oh,
Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm passing. I haven't – these two are pretty – they're coming up soon, so watching them soon.
I'll say Cienega is very good. The Headless Woman I've wanted to see, and I just didn't get around to it, so I'm glad it's on Filmstruck. And then Cleo Bernard, and I'm just going to pass out of the gate. Cleo Bernard, guys?
I've seen The Selfish Giant we were considering for the festival, and that's a harrowing one. A little bit disingenuous, I think, too, thinking of Daniel Blake, but worth seeing. That's all I'll say.
Okay. And then you already mentioned it earlier, but Oslo, August
Great
31st.
Movie. Yeah.
I wanted to watch it. Okay, you recommend
Definitely.
It. Okay, Joachim Trier. Jason, have you seen it?
Nope.
Or The Fire Within? The Fire Within is Louis Malle.
I'd love to get a chance to watch it. That's one of the Malle films that I haven't watched yet, but it looks great.
Me too.
Mark?
Yeah, I haven't seen Fire Within.
Same here. I love Louis Malle, and I've seen just about everything of his, and this is the one I'm saving. I'm waiting for that blue grade, and then I'll watch it. And then, speaking of which, The Samurai, we'll skip that. I think we're all agreed it's awesome. And then The Usual Suspects. Who is Kaiser Sose?
Cool.
Actually, do you guys see, well, for the speed round, do you see the association between the two? Mark?
I'm not seeing it. So, I don't know.
Jason?
Other than it's cool.
I think it would be more of a comparative piece as like someone that's actually going to be taking care of things alone versus what group psychology might become as well. So I think that the parallel could be good to see it from two different perspectives.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's fair. Or you could say that Kevin Spacey is a samurai as well. So there are also a lot of additions to Filmstruck, and the list is about 500 movies long, so I'm not going to list... in fact, I won't even read any of them. I'll just say, well, there's a Carlos Saura, there's a Katsowitz, there's an Ackerman, there's an Itami. The Cremator comes highly recommended by people online, so I want to see that. We'll just move on. There's a lot of Shimizu. Of course, the Hanukkah. I think we're probably going to get some of those on Criterion. So that's it. Filmstruck speed round over. We made it,
nice.
Guys.
Nice work.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. We're pretty much done, but we just have this little thing called Piece of Flair.
Always fun.
So, Jason, do you have a piece of flair?
Yeah, well, I have to come back to what you said when you were talking about Star Wars just a little bit earlier. You said in the case of Star Wars, and I kind of jumped out at you. It's because I'm a little touchy when it comes to talking about Star Wars. I'm very protective of it. And you're absolutely right. The second one is the best. And so, yeah, I'll go back on that comment. And so, occasionally, like Star Wars is something, I'm protective of. And so I'm looking forward to The Last Jedi. The trailer was really great. I had a fun time watching it about 30 times, just dissecting it like every other crazy person on the planet. And I'm one of those hardcore Force Awakens defenders. Everyone calls it a remake of A New Hope, needs to learn how to watch movies all over again. And so that's it. We're actually planning on going in depth on The Force Awakens just before The Last Jedi comes out. So that's my piece of flair. I've seen The Force Awakens about 30-40 times now. So that's not healthy, but it's all right. I'm really looking forward to do the deep dive on that one. It's going to be really, really fun. And so, yeah, like I said, I'm looking forward to some more Criterion releases as well, but I felt like throwing Star Wars into the mix just dumb the show down a little bit.
Star Wars is more than fair. It's the best place for it. I was going by reputation. I don't know if I haven't really thought about it, but I think Empire Strikes Back is thought of as the best of the original trilogy. Mm. Yeah. So The Last Jedi, if it follows that in that suit, might be the best of this trilogy. Although I would say that Attack of the Clones was not the best of the last trilogy. In fact,
it was on par for the course.
Yeah.
Yes. So, Mark, do you have a piece of flair for us?
I do. It's a horror-themed, and it's funny. I haven't finished all of the Arrow Now episode, but you did mention this guy, and I know you're on board, Aaron. I'm going to just, you know, with the new kind of – I don't want to say new, but, you know, Stephen King is back in the consciousness a bit again with the popularity of It. So –
yes, he is.
I want to champion the guy that Stephen King called the future of horror in Clive Barker and just say, where are you, Clive Barker, in the film realm? I recently rewatched Hellraiser, and you talked about it, Aaron, the box set, the Scarlet Box is beautiful. I can see the flaws even more now with that movie, but I still love the visceral nature of it, and the body horror is just great. And, you know, some of the religious aspects of it. And, you know, I think of him as he's a bit like I'm going to give you a reference, Jason. You mentioned the band Tool on a recent episode. I think it was Mother. And whenever we think of the metal band, the prog metal band Tool, they haven't put an album out in 11 years. And you always hear this news. They're working. They're coming. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Clive Barker. There's always news, like the latest in December was that The Great and Secret Show, which is a book I love.
Yeah. Good book. Yeah.
It's supposed to be made into a television series. This was announced back in December, but there's no other updates on it. There's the possible Hellraiser sequel. It's supposed to be take place 27 years after, but there's no other new news. So it's always like something is announced, but nothing happens. Thief of Always was supposed to come as a film adaptation, which is a really good, you could call it sort of a children's novel. So let's get some film or television work out there from Clive Barker. That's my plea.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I'm on board. I see that he did write a novel a year or two ago, so I think he's still working. But yeah. I think we share that. I think we've discussed this in the past. The Great and Secret Show. I forgot about that. I enjoyed that book a lot as well. All right. Well, my short take is actually we kind of overlapped here, Jason. Your quote at the earlier about Romare and paint drying was from this movie. We kind of switched gears. This is a 1975 Arthur Penn Night Moves. And what's funny is that quote was completely in jest because he actually was a huge Romare fan. And so this is a neo-noir, but it's has its own take on the private detective premise. And I don't want to give this too much away because it's such a great movie. I rewatched it, and my wife watched it for the first time, and she actually enjoyed it quite a bit. Melanie Griffith, when she's a kid, actually kind of controversial because showed a little more than I think people were comfortable with. I think she wasn't 18, but they did that in the 70s. And then there was also James Woods, which I even pointed out to my wife. I was like, "You recognize him?" And she said, "No," but the voice, it's a very distinctive voice.
Yeah.
I don't want to say too much because I just think that's worth talking. It's on Warner Archive. I'm actually kind of disappointed with the release. There was only like a little 8-minute documentary about from the time of its making. So there was really no other supplements. I wish this was a Criterion, but I'd say it's actually one of the best neo-noir. And I know that's a lofty statement, but I can't rave about this film enough. So that's my, and also I like Romare.
Yeah. Good call.
Sorry. All right. Well, Jason, thanks for joining. So where can we find you online, on the Twitter, Facebook? Where are you at?
Well, if anybody wants to actually go check out the show, you guys can follow us on Twitter at AtlanticSC. I also have my personal Twitter, which is Jason B. Michael. So you can hit us up there. We're also on Instagram. That's a platform I'm trying to use a little bit more, seeing as that we talk about films, but it's also a visual medium. I want to try to exploit that a little bit more as well by adding pictures and whatnot. We also have a Facebook page called the Atlantic Screen Connection Podcast. You can go check that out as well and visit the website. We actually did a lot of work on that. We have 3 seasons worth of stuff to download. As I was saying earlier, the Paul Thomas Anderson retrospective is one of our favorite. But the new episodes are coming, and we're looking forward to delving into Guillermo del Toro. I want to thank you guys again as well because this has been great. I love talking to you guys, love hearing your stuff. And thank you again also for promoting our show because it really, really helped us get noticed.
Yeah.
So it's been great.
Cross promotion's awesome.
We didn't know, but yeah, I agree. We're all in the same community. So Mark, where can we find you?
On the Twitter sphere, at Mark Herney, H-U-R-N-E, and Letterbox. I need to get Letterbox updated, but you can follow me there.
I was going to try to say it at the same time as you because I've heard
so many times.
You can find the show in the Criterion Now Facebook group. We're having a lot of fun there, and I like seeing more activity, more people starting conversations.
Cool.
We're on the Criterion Cast Master Feed, and you can find me on Twitter, AWES505. And next week, again, David Lynch, Twin Peaks. So we're going to have a lot of fun with that. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Of course. Thanks for having us.